Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder when I take the dog out for a walk and deliver an episode to you as we stroll around. I'm Brendan Riley. Good morning, listeners. It's another lovely day in suburban Chicago, August 9th, and it's about 7 in the morning, so the thunderclap of heat has not slammed down on the day. That's a mixed metaphor if ever I've heard one, but it means I'm having a pleasant walk with my mother-in-law's dog. I guess it's just my in-law's dog, it's not strictly hers, but so we're out for a stroll. And I'm happy to be here talking to you about board games. Looking forward to the weekend. I'll be participating in something called Toggle Top Day. Toggle Gaming is, of course, my game group that I like to attend whenever I can. I'm going weekly right now. Come the fall, I won't be going nearly as often because one of my classes is going to be on Tuesday evening, so it's going to be much harder for me to get there. But I'll still try to go probably once a month. During the fall, and I'm gonna have to find another regular game time because it's gonna be very frustrating to only play once a month or something. Looking forward to that on Saturday. It's an all-day event instead of just Tuesday evening. It's gonna run from 10 in the morning till 11 in the morning till 9 at night. So that will be really fun. I've already scheduled a game of A Study in Emerald, which is one of my favorites, as you know, and I haven't played it in quite a while, so I'm really excited to do that. Another thing I'm excited about at Toggle is that I've been discussing and agreeing to participate a bit more vigorously in the management of the group. At Toggle has, for a very long time, been organized by one person, and that's a guy named Andrew. And before that, it was Andrew and Kevin together, who are pals. And who organized it. But this sort of endeavor, it can be draining on a person to have this thing you do every week in and out with no help or very little help. And so we've had some great conversations about pushing the group forward a bit. And so a few of us have been talking and volunteering a bit more to help out in the organizing of the group. Focus a little bit on the collection management for the group. We have 4 large bookshelves that are, they're full, 2 of them are folding bookshelves, so it looks like 6 shelves when you're there. But they're these big shelves, they're on wheels, and so when we want to set up the games, we just go down in the storage room at the place where the event is held, and we roll these games out, and then our collection is available. We also have an archive of games at the storage unit. The house of the organizer. But for the most part, most of the games are on these shelves. And we had a couple volunteers who spent a significant portion of their Gen Con visiting vendor booths and showing off or explaining the group and seeing if the vendors wanted to donate anything to the group. And if they did, then we would, in return, have the game be a featured game on a particular night, and we would teach it, and that would be a big part of the experience. So we ended up getting a whole bunch of new games for the event, which is really great. It reinvigorated our library a little bit, brought some new games in, but it really did push this idea of thinking about what are some things we can do to facilitate the curation of the library and make it the best thing it can be. So the long and short of it is I've been sort of dubbed the librarian of the group, in part just because the thing I'm interested in doing to help the group is already sort of librarying, but then I don't know, it fits my temperament. So if I'm taking on the role of librarian, I've wanted to think a little bit about how do we want to deal with these things. So I thought today I'm going to talk about what we've been wondering about libraries and if you are involved in a game club, I'd be interested to hear your game club's philosophy, or even just as a game curator yourself, as someone who has a collection of games and you think about which games do I want and need and which ones don't I need, how do I experience these, and so on. So the first is, I want to be able to serve a wide variety of people. Almost every week we have people come to Toggle who've never been there before, who show up, we come in and we greet them, we say hello, welcome, and rope them into playing games or sort of explain the situation. And these people will be at every level of play. There are some who will show up and they've got a copy of the game they want to play in hand. They bring Ticket to Ride with them, or Forbidden Desert, or I don't think we've seen any mass market games in a while, but they could, and they would be welcome to play them. Sometimes they show up and they are gamers. We had a new guy a couple weeks ago who showed up, and he brought with him a bunch of the hotness. He had some CMON games, and I think he had Blood Rage with him maybe. And so people show up planning to show off or play whatever the stuff is, and they realize that we're just the right group for them. Or some people show up with even less idea in mind. They've never played any hobby games at all, and they're just interested to try it, or they came along with a friend. We have people from every walk of life. We've got, we do have a couple people who are on the senior end. I don't know if we actually have any seniors, although we certainly have several people over 50 and a lot over 40. So we have people from every walks of life, people from most age groups. It's not uncommon for people to bring their kids along. Last week I encountered a family. I would articulate it as two moms and their three sons. Two different moms, with one son from one family and two from another. I can't be sure of that. It could have been a pal or something as well, but it was two moms and three boys in the 10 to 12 range, and they were playing Via Nebula. You get the idea. All sorts of people are at Toggle, and everyone's welcome. So we're happy to have them. But that means our collection needs to serve a wide variety of people. You know, even if it is a collection for, you know, there's no single set of gamers that we want to have be catered to by our collection, nor do we want anybody to come up and say, there's nothing for me here. So that's something to think about as we continue to grow. Another question to consider is, how much do we want our collection to be the new hotness? Part of the idea of having a collection like this is that people don't need to buy all the new things to play them. And so we want the collection to acquire some of those new things so that they'll get played and get played often. At the same time, we don't want to buy all the brand new things, because there'll be some that just aren't actually that good. You know, part of the new hotness idea, we don't want to have to buy all the new things though, because some of them will turn out to not be good and they won't have been a good use of the club's funds. Because one of the things I don't think I mentioned, so even though this happens at a bar, so the bar does have an expectation that we're, as a group, spending a certain amount on food and beverage, which I think we do just fine. We do not have a cover to get in, and we have no fees to play in any way. So while you wouldn't be allowed to bring your own food in, that would be pretty gauche, you are not obligated to go buy anything either. And we never want anyone to feel like they have to pay to play games. It's part of how we cater to all walks of life, and part of building the convivial attitude that makes our club so fun. So the result is that we don't have an endless supply of funds for new games. In fact, our supply is pretty limited. We have, in the past couple months, put out a tip box where people can kick in a little money to help contribute to the Toggle Game Fund, and we really like that. We want to continue that activity and approach if we can. The third question regarding managing the library is, how often do the games get played? Like I said, our collection is about six bookshelves. It's six bookshelves. And so it's a robust collection. A couple hundred games for sure. And if you include the small box games, it might even be more than that. But the root of the question, or the root of the problem, is how many of those games get played? And some of them get played a lot. Some of them get played hardly at all. We do have a variety of games that could get played more than others. And I think when we get new games in that are sort of extra cool, those games will get played even more. But it is worth asking, how often does a game get played, and if it, and how can we track that? So those are the three big questions. How do we serve a wide variety of gamers, or continue to? How do we decide about what new games to get? And how do we decide, or how do we keep track of, or articulate which games are getting played from the collection? Because inevitably, any week, there are several people, including myself, who bring a bunch of games that they want to play. I have a game night bag that I actually won from the Forgot My Dice podcast and the folks over at Game Night Bags. And I usually fill that with games. I put four or five games in there, and that gives me some ideas about what, or that lets me bring the games I'd like to play. Because with a collection as big as mine, you're never going to get them played if you don't bring games when you go to game night. But I also don't ever bring games I know are in the Toggle library. So if I know a game is at Toggle, then I might play that instead of bringing it. So then the question becomes, how do we accomplish these things? And there are a few things I'm thinking about that I'm looking forward to using as ways that will work on that organization. The first one is, how do we tackle the question of donations? Right now, like I said, we have this money box, and at this point, that's really all we want. That's providing enough for us to do the few things we want to do. At some point, maybe we'll... Oh, we also sell t-shirts, but that's mostly at cost. So the amount that people pay for the t-shirt is basically what we paid to make it. So we aren't coming out ahead on that. The whole point of this is to be a zero profit endeavor. But when we do make money, the goal would be to buy some new games. So the question is, which new games to buy? How do we decide? Part of it is just tracking... tracking what's popular out in the world and seeing if we can get copies of those. I think part of it is also tracking what games people are bringing to play, or what games people want to play. I think it would be worthwhile for us to look at some sort of request system, and I think that'll probably go part and parcel with the logging plays, so that if people are like, boy, I'd like to try this game, then that leads us toward having a particular game in the library when we see it requested a lot. That might be a way to do that. But in general, we're not going to solicit donations for a couple reasons in any broad sense, because there are tax implications that are much more complicated once you're asking for donations. So we won't be doing that. So the second question is organization of the games. Right now, the games are not organized at all. There are a couple drawers attached to the shelves that are used to hold a lot of the small box card games, but that's all they are. That's all they do. We don't have those organized in any way. They just are tossed in there. And then in the main cubbies of the shelves, the games are just placed wherever, willy-nilly. And there's an advantage to that, which is that nobody's job is to spend time organizing where the games are on the shelves. I don't mind doing that occasionally, but when I do it at home, it's because I'm maximizing how many games can fit on my shelf, and then no one's messing up the games. This is a collection that's getting used all the time. Games are getting taken out and put back, and if it had a rigid organization like at a public library, somebody'd have to spend a significant portion of their night rearranging the games each week, and that blows. Nobody's going to do that. So, We talked about a couple. I've thought about a couple different options. One would be to have a little colored dot on the box and then colored dots on the shelves. And the idea is you put a game back where the colored dot matches. And the colored dots could indicate things like heavy game, lightweight game, easy to teach, easy to learn. I don't know what else. But even that seems like more organization than we want to do. So I'm inclined to say we should not, at this time, we should not do any kind of organization of that sort. But we do want to think about how are we arranging the games on our shelves, and do we want to do more to do that? But really, the third point is the one I'm interested in tackling first, and that's the question of which games are getting played and which games should we get? We've talked about a number of different ways to explore. No, we're not going on there. We've talked about a number of ways to explore which games are getting played. We could have a librarian checking games in and out. That's no fun. It discourages browsing, I think, but it also means someone has to sit there being a librarian. And we haven't had problems with games getting destroyed or stolen or anything, so that's not really something we're concerned with. I suppose once a game goes missing, we're going to have to start thinking about that. But for now, that hasn't been an issue. We talked about doing a physical game log of some sort, like putting a game on an index card in the top of the box and asking people to write down that they played it. That could work. I think there's a couple downsides to that. One, to collect that information is going to be a real pain in the butt. Two, if people don't have a pen, they aren't going to do it. Three, if people don't notice the card in the box, they're not going to do it. So all three of those things make it seem unlikely that using index cards in games is going to work to log plays. At the same time, I think we could perhaps have some success logging plays if we were to do one log per play using a kind of paper system. One thing I was thinking of is what if we just want to set the bar, did this game get played in a year? And we put a piece of paper in there every year on Toggle Top Day. And if someone plays the game, then we ask them to like write their name or write the date they played it or whatever and put it in the donation box. And then over the year, we'll accumulate all the papers of games that got played. And any games that didn't get played, we'll still have the paper in them at the end of the year. And we just use a different color for the next year and so on. And that would allow us to really get a sense of the library of what games are getting played or not. Again, this would have the downside of having to be physically logged by an individual person, which isn't fun. It also has the downside of requiring that people notice or take the action to actually do that. Third, it's kind of fiddly. We also have to load up all the games, but that's true. Any of these methods would require some startup cost in terms of effort. The third one, which I find the most interesting, also would be the most labor intensive, but you know, who cares? Would be to work on an application that allows us to log the games via our website. So we do have a website at Toggle. We don't use it for much, but one thing we could do would be to build a small web application that runs around unique codes. And those codes could be generated by the system and then turned into QR codes so that you scan this thing with your phone and then it takes you to a page where you log a play of a game. And it would have the game there already and you would log it and it would register that you played it and you could enter in your name and the names of the other players and the date. This would have the advantage of allowing us to log players at Toggle. It would let us get to see what games from the library are getting used, but it would also allow us to fulfill that other part of the contract that we made with the publishers when they donated things, which is that we'll publicize the games we've been given. That when a publisher gives us a game, we appreciate it and we are going to go out of our way to say thank you. We'll feature their game on a particular night, and when it gets played, we'll log it on our Facebook and our Twitter and appreciate them for donating the game, which would be the, you know, the goal. Also, I'm sure part of the goal would be to have people play the game at Toggle and go, say, wow, I love that game. I really want to have it for myself. This will take a bit more work, this thing, but it's certainly within my skill set in terms of making a web application that does this. I know how to do that. That's not a problem. So if you were in charge of the library, what questions would you ask? What am I forgetting? What kinds of things would you try to figure out as you're trying to manage your game group's library? Are there techniques or ideas for approaching this question that I haven't thought of? Should we be concerned about people swiping stuff? All of those things, I guess, are important. And we look forward to answering them in the coming months and years. So I'm really glad that you're able to join me today. If you want to reach out and let me know what you think of the podcast, you can drop me a line at Rattlebox Games on Twitter or brendan@rattleboxgames.com by email. You can stop by BoardGameGeek and message me. My username there is wombat929. You could also stop by our guild, 3269, over on BoardGameGeek, and let us know, what do you do to manage a library? Or if you were in charge of managing a library, what would you do that I'm not mentioning, or how would you agree, or whatever? Comment on the episode. Well, that's it for me. Thanks for joining me today. I hope that your next walk is as pleasant as mine was. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.